Epilogue. The bleak sun inched above the horizon, and a new day fell across the ruination that surrounded the complex. Above the corroded bronze sky, Samarkand was gaining yet another feature, a spreading orbital cloud of frozen gobbets of flesh, pieces of bone and metal, dragon remains. Hubris, poised geostationary above the complex, watched this cloud spread with an aesthetic appreciation only available to AIs having the full spectrum of senses it possessed. With another fraction of its sensorium, it listened in through the computer of the departing mini-shuttle. In a completely disconnected way, it knew that it too was being used in this way, by a mind as many orders of magnitude greater than it, than it was of the computer.
"It would have looked at everything you said and did," said Blegg. Then he chugged down a large cup of whiskey and grinned wickedly.
With his own cup resting on his knee, Cormac stared down at the floor of the shuttle with the unseeing gaze of exhaustion. He was finding it difficult to grasp that his plans had paid off. Eventually he spoke. "I guess it's a case of knowing who your enemies are." Blegg looked at the bottom of his cup in annoyance, took out his flask, shook it, and then smiled benevolently. Cormac had never known anyone like him. He probably knew exactly what had happened, yet managed to appear completely unconcerned. A strange man was Blegg. He rested his head back and closed his eyes. It seemed only a minute had passed before Blegg was shaking him awake. He looked up at the screen and saw that the shuttle was coming down on the edge of the complex in a storm of CO2 crystals. He waited until he felt it touch down before he spoke. "Aidan, ask Samarkand 2 how the Stage 2 runcible's coming along." The golem got up from his pilot's chair as if he had not heard. Samarkand 2 answered the question over the shuttle's speakers.
"The Stage 2 runcible is undergoing rough alignment. This will take approximately 15 minutes. I will fine-tune it in 1/10 of a second. If ever an AI had been guilty of conceit, Samarkand 2 was that one, thought Cormac. He moved to the door of the shuttle as a covered walkway attached itself like a lamprey. As he waited at the door for the air beyond to heat up, he turned back to Blegg. "You know, they have a carrying pouch inside them." Dragon knew everything that was going on here. It just grabbed them to make sure they were internally clear of the mycelium. It didn't want us finding that.
"You're not wrong. That where the CTD went."
"Yeah, but it had to cut away some material to get it in." The door thumped open like the door to a fridge, and they entered the walkway. Soon they were passing by the milling technicians, and Samarkand 2's voice droned over the speakers. "Stage 2 runcible alignment test commencing. Test complete. Still too far out for insertion of 5D cusp." The larger containment sphere of the Stage 2 runcible now rested under a large dome with floor space all around. The open door to the containment sphere was big enough for heavy transport sleds. Cormac recognized the familiar figure of Charlene next to the door. He walked up to her and saw she was directing the adjustment of machinery under the black glass floor inside, the same kind of machinery as he had destroyed in the Stage 1 runcible. Dislodged floor panels were resting up against the wall of the sphere. "Much longer?" he asked.
She watched him suspiciously for a moment, and then relented. "A few minutes?"
She gestured at the work going on. "This is only cosmetic. One more test, and the spoon'll be in."
Cormac left her to it, and walked back to Blegg. The Japanese was refilling his flask from a drinks dispenser. How he managed that, Cormac had no idea. The dispensers here did not normally dispense alcohol.
When the flask was full, they turned and watched, as esoteric adjustments were made, and Samarkand too gave notice of the next test. Inside the sphere, they saw rainbows shimmering between the wide-apart horns of the Runcible. They climbed to the roof of the sphere, penetrated it, then to the roof of the dome, and through that. It was a beautiful sight. Cormac remembered the first time he had seen this with the Stage 1 Runcible, the Tower of Rainbows reaching into the sky. It still did not fail to impress him.
"Spoons in. All yours, Samarkand too," said Charlene with glee.
Cormac said, "Samarkand too. Inform Viridian that access is now allowable from there."
"Viridian has already been informed."
"You mistake me."
"Inform Viridian that Cormac says access from there is now allowable."
There was a pause, and when Samarkand too spoke again, it sounded as surprised as an AI could be.
"Viridian tells me your message is affirmed. Transmission coming through."
At that moment, the Runcible flickered, and Sento stepped through. He had been rebuilt, partially. His missing arm had been replaced with one the colour of brass. He held it up and grinned triumphantly as he approached. Aidan greeted him with a perfect emulation of human happiness. The golem came over to join Cormac and Blegg.
"Transmission coming through. Energy anomalies," Samarkand II announced.
The cusp of the Runcible flared with light, and a glass dragon stepped through. There were screams of surprise, some screams of fear. The dome seemed full of light.
"There is no need for panic," said Samarkand II,
and those who had screamed felt a little foolish, perhaps. The Maker came down from the dais on limbs of fire, scanning the place with its three glass eyes. It seemed to Cormac it should dwell in that Tower of Rainbows he had seen. It seemed wholly mythical.
"Now I didn't expect to see him," he said.
He pointed to the blackly silhouetted Draco man walking before the alien, like a slave, or its tamer. Soon the Maker reached them, and now they could see the workings of its body, like a glassy display of flasks and tubes in a chemistry laboratory. It spoke, and its voice seemed to draw sound from every direction and precipitate it out in gusting words.
"Cormac," it said,
and its terrifying head bowed down to peer at him.
"I thought you were going to use Scar for the blast," said Cormac.
The voice came again, its elements seemingly drawn from the people who were gathering round to watch, to gawp. One brave soul reached out to touch, then snatched his hand back before it was burnt, or before he touched something ineffable.
"Scar is an advantage," said the Maker.
Staring into light, Cormac suddenly felt even more tired. He looked round at Blegg, but the Japanese seemed preoccupied.
his expression opaque. Through Samarkand 2 and through Hubris, Earth Central watched the culmination of events with small facets of itself. Eventually, it opened a communication channel that it still did not wholly understand. Conclusion. Satisfactory? Within certain limitations, Hal. Explain. Dragon died here, but Dragon still lives. Dragon dialogues. Delay? Delay. Delay. Satisfactory conclusion. Deferred. Projection. The AI closed off that odd channel and once again focused all its attention through Hubris. The ship AI continued to watch the spreading cloud, fascinated by the pattern of its dispersal and analyzing it continuously. The remains of Dragon stretched out and out, and still following the creature's original course, they drew a glittering ring around the planet. Some of this debris fell into atmosphere. Hubris detected strange proteins and exotic metals. Some of these substances had been made to withstand extremes of heat and force, so certain fragments were not burning up on re-entry. On Samarkand, it was raining dragon scales. This was an audio production of Gridlinked by Neil Asher, read by Rick Jerram. Published by Macmillan Digital Audio, an imprint of Pan Macmillan, a division of Macmillan Publishers Limited. Text copyright Neil Asher, 2001. Recording copyright Macmillan Digital Audio, 2017. The right of Neil Asher to be identified as the author of this work has been asserted by him in accordance with the Copyright, Designs and Patents Act, 1988. All rights reserved. Produced by Strathmore Publishing. Directed by Alec Reed and recorded at Chatterbox Audio.
Audible hopes you've enjoyed this program.